You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.ab.ca. Noon host Jim Toth joins us. Jim, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Jason. How are you, man? It's hopefully you summered well. I know it was a short one in Edmonton, but I hope everyone's doing good.
Well, you know what? Hockey's back on today because Oilers fans are debating over whether or not it's a good decision to have McDavid or Drysdale on the same line to start the season. So that's a good thing. That is a good thing. It means hockey is officially back. The Jets, probably another frustrating offseason for them in kind of how they went out and just like their inability to play well on the road in the playoffs was mind-blowing to me. Like, it just doesn't – they were the best road team in the regular season. What happened?
Yeah, it's I know a lot of people wanted to revolve around Connor Hellebuyck, and in that first-round series against St. Louis, it did. He was not up to par of what you're accustomed to seeing in the regular season. But I'll go back even 2 years to the Colorado series when they lost in five games that, you know, his stats were horrible. But I thought he was great in that series. It was just that they kept feeding the Colorado Avalanche power plays, and they could not defend in front of Connor Hellebuyck in that series 2 years ago. To the tune of that, his high danger chances he was facing compared to the regular season had doubled in that one series. So I didn't pin that on him. But the St. Louis series, it was hard not to look at him and ask for more. They just got pounded in St. Louis for three games in a row. They would come home, and I still think St. Louis is the better team in that series, and I think Connor Hellebuyck sort of, well, he said after the Manitoba Miracle, they're calling it, when Cole Perfetti tied the game with less than 2 seconds to go, and then Adam Lowry ended it in double overtime. He said when that Perfetti goal went in, he just got his confidence back, and he just sort of settled in. And I thought he was great against Dallas. I honestly do believe that. He got another shutout against them. They lost in six games. If they could have pushed it to a game seven in Winnipeg, I think all bets were off. And they lost on the penalty kill in overtime of game six. So I think a lot of it revolves around Connor Hellebuyck, but I'm very interested to see. They've got to get to the playoffs, first of all. I'm not trying to put the cart in front of the horse here. But I think he's grown a little bit. But a lot of it was goaltending, but also systematic, right? This was a team that I would think was playoff fragile. There was that game in St. Louis where, you know, there was 1-1. They had three chances in the second period, golden opportunities, couldn't bury one. And then St. Louis scored about 2 minutes later, and you could just see it deflate them. And then two more quick wins from St. Louis. And that's how that series went. Like, if they had the lead or they could get their game back like they did in game one, they kind of could outplay St. Louis. But St. Louis outplayed them that series. They settled in against Dallas. I know they lost in six, but I thought they played really well against Dallas. So heading into this season, that's what everybody's wondering about is, you know, whether it's the road record last year, whether it's the President's Cup trophy, whether it was second in the West 2 years ago, fourth overall 2 years ago, can they get it done in the playoffs? And I said all last year when they started 15-1, I'm like, none of this matters until the playoffs to Jets fans. None of this. Yeah. They could go 82-0 and people are still going to go, okay, now we care about this because we need to, they care, but they need to see this in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. When you look at Winnipeg and you see the moves they made in the offseason, what do you make of them? Or, you know, are they better? Are they the same? And is it more, let's see what they do with the deadline?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything just to ride the fence on this. Look, losing Nick Ehlers is a loss. Nick Ehlers is a great guy. He's a great player on and off the ice, and they liked him. But I never, like, we heard John Shannon joins us on our pregames quite often, and his podcast with Darren Millard had Mark Chipman on, and he was talking about Kyle Connor. Well, he's family, and I'm fully confident this will get done. He grew up in this organization. But I never heard that about Nick Ehlers. And I know to the players, Nick Ehlers was thought of that way. But I just got a feeling at the start of last year and as the season wore on that of the core that's here, that Nick would, you know, I think Nick wants to be a top-line player. And it just wasn't going to happen here with Kyle Connor. And I get that. But I don't think it was malicious or anything. I just got the point that, you know, Jets are going to offer him something and he's going to listen. They like each other. But I also got the idea that if both sides tried something different, they would be okay with it. Like, it wouldn't be devastating. And I think that's what happened. But then Jonathan Toews comes in, Gustav Nyquist. Like, they did Jets things, Jason. And I think that, you know, you understand that in the Edmonton market, if you don't have a Drysdale and McDavid, get on the phone and try to convince a player to come play for Edmonton. Get on the phone if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff. Shut the door. pick up the phone and try to convince a player to come play in Winnipeg. And I'm not trying to sell the Oilers organization short, but McDavid gets you players, right? Draisaitl players want to be there. The Jets don't have that. And I saw that with Seth Jones. And I said this on the air a lot last year. I'm okay with Seth Jones being an American player going Dallas or Florida at the trade deadline. What I'm not okay with is if you don't even consider Winnipeg. Like, I get it if you don't choose Winnipeg. But you look at Connor Hellebuck, you look at pairing for the next 2 years of your contract with Josh Morrissey, and Connor Hellebuck's your goalie and this top six, and you don't even consider it. I think that's what the Jets do. Like, that's what they face, right? And so I think the additions they made were Jets additions. Like, they're not terrible. I think Tanner Pearson brings a lot of experience, and I think Cole Koepke will add to the fourth line and make them better, especially on the penalty kill. I think Nyquist, you know, he might not score 71 like he did 2 years ago, but I don't think he's going to score 35 again. I think he's got 50, 55 points in him. I think Jonathan Toews has 50 points in him. I think Cole Perfetti can evolve a little bit and even continue to build. I talked to him at training camp. He looks thicker, bigger, and full of confidence. So the 60-some points that Nick Ehlers brought you every year, I think can be made up. I think if you can get, you know, an extra 10 or 15 out of Perfetti, and if you can get 30, 40 minimum out of Nyquist, and you can get 30 or 40 out of Toews, I think they can make that up. And I, this team has not turned this around with their dynamic top six for the last 10 years. They tried years with Paul Maurice to try and outscore their problems. I think Paul Maurice at one time, the practices I were at, got tired of preaching defense for two or three seasons and just said, well, let's just try and outscore them because, you know, the line A's and the rest of the world are just not going to defend for me. Scheifele's not going to defend Connor. And then that's really what's turned them around. Rick Bonus. Rick Bonus came in, and the defensive game of Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele is alarmingly better. And I also think, Jason, that, like, that bodes well. Josh Morrissey told me years ago, the biggest, and you would know this better than I do, but the biggest misnomer in the offseason is that people think that if you've been in the league 4 or 5 years, that's who you are.
Yeah.
No. And that we just go home and work on staying in shape and then come back and keep playing. And he's a prime example, right? He didn't take off for 4 or 5 years, maybe even in his sixth season, that he started putting up 70 points. And I think that that's what's lost in a lot of these conversations is the 5 to 10% you can get better within over their season will often outweigh what you do in the off season with bringing in. And so I think the Jets are going to, they're probably not going to win the President's Trophy. They probably aren't going to score as much without Ehlers on the power play, but they might, you know, be right back where they were. And I think they're a playoff team.
Jim Till joins us. Winnipeg's roster tonight, kind of similar to the Oilers. It's, you know, it's not going to be last year, the preseason game, both teams actually had a fairly veteran lineup kind of early in, which was a little bit weird. But of the guys in the lineup tonight, I know Jonathan Toews, I'm pretty sure, is playing for the Jets. What's your expectations for him this season? How's he looked?
Well, he's looked ready to go, and he also looks as driven as ever, because the odd time he misses a puck or fends on a pass, it's as if he gave up 3 goals on one shift. He is hard on himself. Pardon me. He is hard on himself. He's still dialed in like he always has been, and he wants to make this goal. The story, as I understand it, is he tried to skate in Arizona in May, thought it was really fast, so he went to Minnesota about a month later to skate with NHLers and said, I can do this after about a month of that. So I think he looks like he can still play for sure. And I think worst case scenario, Jason, is they've added another Adam Lowry. Jonathan Toews was never a point per game player, and he was never really fast as a skater, but he was super smart, competitive, and effective at everything else parts of the game. And that's what I see from him. He's competitive. He's physical. He looks in prime shape, and he always was in there. But I, having seen him at a training camp session and then at the scrimmage game on Saturday, and talking to some people in the organization, they all say the same thing. When you ask him, what do you think of Toews? They all think he just needs to get into a game. Like, he needs to play a game. Like, he's been doing this since May, where a lot of players are sort of dialing it down and taking some time off and then doing some off ice stuff. He's been on the ice getting ready for this. So I think at worst case, you've added another Adam Lowry to the 2-time Jennings winning defensive trophy team of the year. And I think that, you know, best case scenario, he has 60 points in him. I think it lies somewhere in the middle. I think he's got 35 to 45 points minimum. It would not surprise me if he has 50. And I think that would come from some power play time on the second unit and playing with Cole Perfetti and Nyquist.
Okay. What about Kyle Connor's contract? How I know it was funny, you know, when Scheifele and Hellebuck re-signed, a lot of people were like, oh, they're leaving, they're done, and then they both signed. Connor hasn't signed yet, which doesn't. Hey, there's a Connor in Edmonton, just different last name, who hasn't signed. But I'm curious, you know, what are you hearing, or what do you think is going to happen between him and the Jets?
Well, as guys in the media, don't you and I both want the entire class to go to free agency next summer and just see what happens with the Kaprizovs, the McDavids, the Kyle Connors, and everybody else? I think it gets done. I think that Kyle Connor is in discussions. What I really think happened is he's like, I don't want to do anything in the summer. I don't need a contract. I don't want to be on the lake fishing or on the golf course and have to go, okay, what are the numbers? And then I think when he landed back here in Winnipeg about a week and a half ago, I think they started talking, and I think I would assume it's going to get done, but I'm not sure. I would assume before the season, but I don't think Kyle's in a big rush. But I think he wants to be here. He's probably the lowest maintenance superstar in the National Hockey League I've ever seen. And I don't know how Edmonton feels about him, but I think he's a superstar. I think he's a top 10 to 15 player in this league. And I think when you get out of the top five, like MacKinnon and Kucherov and the two guys in Edmonton and Kaprizov, I think he goes right there. So, but I know he wants to be here. I just wonder if it's about term, right? But I'll say this, Jason. When this core took their second or third contracts, and I'm talking Hellebuck, Scheifele, Ehlers, Morrissey, all those guys took $6 million. And Connor held out a little bit. He got to camp about 2 days left in it and took 7.1. So it tells me he knows, you know, he's got a little bit more value than the core, not thinking at all that he's better than them. But I think the team understands that this elite goal scoring and skill and hands and speed that he has is a little more elite than our really good core players too. So that's where I think it sits. I think they have a number and they're talking, and I think he's pushing back a little bit because he has in the past, and then they'll get it done. I don't think it won't get done. It's just a matter of when and what the term will be and then the number. But you're right. I didn't see both Hellebuck and Scheifele coming back. I thought one of them would be gone for sure. And when they did, I think Kyle Connor's right in there with them. He loves it here. He loves hunting. He loves fishing. He loves the winters, and he's from Michigan, and he wants to win with this crew, this core. And I think that he's going to, you know, sit down and lock it up. But I don't think it'll be 8. I don't think it'll be 7. I think he's thinking 5 to 6, right around what, you know, Scheifele and Hellebuck and everybody else has here, and go from there.
Okay. When you look at their defense, is there something lacking? Do you think they'd want to upgrade? Do they like their defense core? What do you make of it?
I think they'd always like to upgrade it. And I think they're always looking for that big physical one. And they're, I mean, isn't everybody, but they brought in Luke Shen. They have 9 guys signed. And so something's got to give. I think they go into the regular season with 8 and they have to put somebody on waivers. Yeah. So I think the top 4 is set. I think it's Morrissey and DeMello, and Sandberg's been an unsung hero here. He's really, really good defensively. And I think he had 20 points last year. I think he's a key to this team. And really takes another step forward, along with Neil Pionk, who did get an extension at $7 million. And then it's a wonder, right? Chen's got a year left. Playing tonight will be Cale Clegg, who they picked up. But there's Hayden Fleury, who earned himself a deal coming in as a probably on a two-way deal last year and played well enough with the speed. Logan Stanley's still here, a former first-round pick that the size that he is, I think people are still waiting for him. He's not as bad as I think some Jets fans would make it out to be, but he does have some terrible games. And the other point, the other games are just, you know, normal 6 defenseman games. And so when he's bad, he's really bad. And then he has 3 or 4 that he just doesn't stand out. So I think they want that physicality in the lineup as well. But Ville Heinola is here, and he's a guy that, you know, he would have made the team and been on the roster last year, but he had an off-season injury or an injury with his ankle. And I don't know, if you didn't have any bad luck, you wouldn't have any luck at all. It got infected after, like, I think it was done the year before, and he took the summer, and then he came back, and they discovered that it was rusting inside the screws in his ankle, which apparently happens, but is rare. And he would have made the team out of the gate. And so he missed all of last year again. He was on the roster, and they kept him around. But so he's a little bigger. And he's playing in the 2 sessions I saw him a little bit more physical. He's going to play tonight, and he's going to play with Luke Shen. And I'm wondering if they're kind of looking at seeing if that might be a 5-6 pairing guy. but they got nine defensemen. Something's got to give. But I do think they would still like to get, like when they were at their best in 2019, I think their right side was Trouba, Byfuglien, and Myers.
Oh, geez. Big physical.
And Myers, you know, gets roasted in Vancouver, and rightfully so. His game has gone down a lot since being here. But when he was 5'6" here and not taught, that's how they went to the Western Conference Final, right? And I think they would like something like that again if they could acquire it. The problem is I think every team would. But it'll be interesting to see which direction they go. Fleury can move the puck and has got speed. Hainel is that kind of a style, too. There's not room in the top four for those kind of guys. And then, you know, I think Shen's on the team this year, but I don't think even when healthy, he plays all 82. I think they're going to protect that a little bit. And what they decide and who gets waived is one of the biggest questions at training camp.
Well, yeah, I was going to – and all those guys, I think, require waivers. So yeah. Would there be any fear of any of them getting claimed?
Well, people debate me on this all the time, but Logan Stanley has 200-plus games. He's 6'7". He is what he is. He's not Zdeno Chara by any means, but I don't know if a team would take him or Hainala, who's a first-round pick, puck mover. His first five games in his rookie year, or four games, he put up points, but the defensive part of it, the physicality wasn't there. And the other problem with Hainala, and I don't like doing this to players, but the couple times 2 years ago when he got sent down, I went to a Moose game the very next time he was in the lineup, and he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else.
Okay.
So I think that hurt him a little bit too, but he came into camp like thicker and bigger than ever. He's had a really good couple of days here, but also his agent's probably on him, right? Saying, look, you got no resume here and you need a contract next year. So I think either one of those two guys might be claimed on waivers. I don't know what they're thinking, right? This is an organization that have lost the Chisholms and the Kovacevics to other teams. Montreal and Minnesota claim those guys. And, you know, Kovacevic is now in New Jersey. They kind of, and I know for a fact with Kovacevic, they waived him purposely thinking that nobody might take a chance, and somebody did. And so they might be in that scenario again. So, but I don't know. Like, I think somebody would get claimed. It just depends what the name is that they decide to waive. And I know that they'll approach it like they have with those previous two names I mentioned of trying to sneak somebody through.
Jim, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the matchup tonight, and we'll talk to you throughout the year. Have a great day.
Yeah, look forward to it. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the game tonight.